and come to your word, Lord, today for direction, to hear from you, Lord, to be able to connect with you, to open our heart to you so that we may receive the things that you are giving us, Lord, that you are ministering to us. We just praise and thank you, Lord, and give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, for everything you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit guides us. And this is really something that is critical for us to actually personally receive from God. We need to hear personally from God, not from man. Whatever we hear, even from, man has always to be filtered through him. You know, many people, just, I do myself sometimes, and, the Lord told me, and, there is no problem about saying that, but the point is just because somebody says the Lord told me, you don't need to believe it. That's important to understand, no matter how much you like the person that's preaching or whatever. We always have to go to the Word, like the Berean did, to see, checking even Paul out for the things he was saying. Because what counts is what God speaks to you, because if you hear just people talking, you're going to be confused. You have to be able to hear from God directly. And then some people think, that's difficult to do. No, it's not difficult. Jesus explained that very well. And we have to understand the principles according to which that works. Praise the Lord. He speaking to his disciples. Okay. In John chapter 14, verse 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, this is pretty not a democratic statement or not, inclusive statement. It's non-inclusive at all. Okay, there is no other way that we can go to God. There is no any way that you want to choose. It's only through him that we are going to be able to connect with him. And one has to see what that means, and we have to see, how that to implement that in our life. Okay, it says, no one comes to me, even. So even to get there is a step that we have to take. Okay, and he says there, ask the Father. Okay, the Father, come to the Father except through me. So really, there is more than one connection here that he's talking about. He's talking about the connection with him that determines the connection we have with the Father. Now, this is a concept that is repeated many times in the Gospels. Not only in the Gospel, but in the Epistles. Okay, we have to understand, okay, that we make sure that this is the way we operate, the way we walk. See, says in the following verse, John 14:7 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. This was talking to his disciples. The idea is that, to be able to understand God, we have to understand it, go through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That means, we have to see the way he operated. We have to see the things he taught. We have to see the way he lived. And when we start looking at him and the way he functions, we get lots of information about what the way we should operate. Say, but that was Jesus. No. He was there doing things so that we may be able to see how to function, how to do things. He was our example. That's why he took form, he was incarnated, like we are. Different way, but he was. So that we would be like him, or we will be transformed as we respond to what God wants to do with us, to become like him. Okay. So our knowledge of God is going to be dependent by our knowledge and understanding of Jesus. Jesus' life, Jesus' way, the truth that he taught, and all the things that are connecting with him. He's our connection. Okay. That's what you have to know. We can see, you know, even when he was talking to Pontius Pilate. Okay, Pontius Pilate was not a believer, but he expressed some things to him that applies to everybody, including believers. Okay, in John 18:33, okay, says, then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Okay, he heard things from what people were saying, with what the Jews were saying, what there was accusation were making to him about, you know, was everything second hand information. You know, that's not the way to connect with God. Unless you really get first hand information, there is not going to be any impact in your life. Because you are not hearing God, you are hearing what somebody else says. And the way you have to hear what God, when God speaks is completely different than what you hear what people say. Even if they talk about God. We're going to see some things here, okay, that is important for us to understand. Jesus answered and said to him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me? You see, he is dealing with the issues right away. Are you talking about what other people say, or you know? That's a strange thing to ask somebody that wasn't even a believer. He was trying to communicate something to him. The fact that somebody that doesn't know, even doesn't know him, may be able to hear him. And actually, if they don't hear him, they can never be able to get anywhere. So there has to be an opening even before they connect with him. See, the opening is not, has not to do with him, has to do with us. And he mentioned that and explained that and he shown that. Okay? See, Jesus was addressing a crucial issues, okay, about connecting with him. Has to be personal. Cannot be theological. Cannot be mental. Cannot be, you know, not even emotional. Because you can get emotion from religion too. Has to be spiritual. You cannot connect with Jesus with your mind. You cannot connect with Jesus with your philosophy. Jesus didn't come to give a philosophy to us. He came to give us a relationship with him and with the Father. We have to understand that. And we have to understand, you know, how that is achieved, how we can do that. And it's really, there is only one way, really, spirit to spirit. And when it comes about spirit, we have serious problem because we don't understand too much about it. And so we had to go, the only way we can know is actually to go to the Word. It's not by our reasoning, it's not by our logic, it's not by anything. We had to make the connection, the proper connection. We had to open up through our spirit. praise the Lord. Okay. It has to be a personal relationship with Him. Must be a spiritual communion with Him. A relationship. You see, you cannot have spiritual power imparted or transferred to you by any other way than by a spiritual connection with Him. If we can understand what that means. And the only way to understand what that means, we have to see what He said. And He wasn't the only one said it, but He explained that very clearly, and He demonstrated that in His own life. He had a relationship with the Father that was completely personal. We cannot have a relationship with Him or the Father that is not personal, that is not involved down deep inside you at the depth of your spirit. And we have really no easy access to that, but you have access to your heart, which is the closest thing that is there for us, and where we can start making some decisions. Praise the Lord. See, that's the place of our decisions. Okay. So, you know, after Jesus said, you know, did you hear somebody else, you know, or you know it yourself? Are you asking that question? Okay. And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nations and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" You see, the only thing he could say, that he wasn't a Jew. He didn't connect. You see, that's the only way, the connection that he had. You can be a Jew, you can be anything. Doesn't make any difference. If there is no opening there, you get nowhere with God. Praise the Lord. He was, you know, don't need to be a Jew to connect with Jesus. They actually weren't able to connect with Him at all. Okay. Pilate did not have a personal relationship with Him. And so he could not connect with Him. He could not even understand what Jesus was talking about. Praise the Lord. See, so did the Jews, so did the Pharisees. Why? Because they didn't have a personal relationship. We're just following the law. They were following rules. They were just religious. That means they were just connected to things that they had to do and not to do, but their heart was not in the right place. And Jesus said that many times. It's where our heart is that produces the difference. Not our following laws, not legalism, not religious practices. Those things have no power. They may have just as much power that to make you feel good because you feel you did something good. But you know, that does not impress God. That does not connect with God because it's not personal. Essentially, when you do that, you are operating according to the old covenant, not the new covenant. The new covenant is a personal relationship that comes down to the level of our heart. And old covenant can only produce an emotional feeling good about doing the right thing when you do right, you know, when you judge that you do right, but really doesn't change anything. It does not have the power to change you. The only time that the power of God is released was when Jesus came and enabled us to connect personally with God by connecting with Him first on what He did. He's explained that. You know, says our we consequence of that, you know, we can experience spiritual power to overcome, to a communion with God. Only when we have a personal relationship with him. Paul said in many places in the epistles, and the one that really I want to use now is Romans 8:11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give more life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You see, that is the key. And the power is the power to be able to overcome the flesh. Is the power to be able to have victory over the enemy. Hallelujah. See, unless we come to him and make that kind of a connection, we are going to struggle all our life getting nowhere. He defined the way where he operated, the way he functioned, what he was working with. You know, in John chapter 18, verse 36. Okay. So this is following up the thing that he was saying before with Pilate. Okay. It says, Jesus answered, says, my kingdom is not of this world. We're talking about, are you a king? Well, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. He established, excuse me, he established a basic principle. First of all, that his servant, the people that were following him, the people, you know, weren't going to fight with the flesh, with a worldly way. Fighting with a worldly way was not going to change anything spiritually. If you want to get spiritual result, then you have to follow his direction. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Unless you operate on a spiritual level, forget it. You are not going to get anywhere spiritually. So that's the thing that we had to remember. Even for us, when we do things for him, if we don't do it in the right space, in the right dimension, in the right area, which is spiritually, then we are going to, and we just do things physically, thinking that we are doing something, we are doing nothing. Because it doesn't transfer there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His kingdom is not from here. Now. And this is what we have to understand. And he demonstrated that in all his walk, in all his life, in all his teaching, and in his death. He was motivated or operating in a worldly way, in a physical way, in a fleshy way. He was operating spiritually. Operating according to the spiritual reality that he believed in and connected with the Father. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And unless we operate that way, we don't even understand what he's talking about. Praise the Lord. So the response there in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this case, cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now this is, I believe, it's a critical statement that put very clearly the position that we had to have. Okay? forget about the first part of the verse that talks about some specific thing, but in really in talking about, you know, everyone. Are you everyone? Yeah? Everybody's everyone?
Yes.
Good. So that applies to us. Okay? Who is of the truth hears my voice. Lots of people, I don't hear God. Are you of the truth? Or are you of something else? Are you living for the physical thing and the appearing things? Or are you living for the things that are essential, that are spiritual, that are truth? That's what makes the difference. That's what enables us to hear. You know, say, well, you know, I can get it. Well, you have to understand some things. Because hearing God, hear my voice. Hearing Jesus' voice. Okay. Doesn't mean that you are there hearing something, you know, in your ears. Jesus, you know, talks to us, to our spirit, and so we had to hear it from our spirit. Sometimes it happened. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. It happened to me sometime, but, you know, that's the exception, is when God knows that the only way to get across to us is really to do it in a way that is just as fleshy as we are. Because that's the flesh, that's the physical. And he wants to get across, and he knows that you are pretty close, and so he just goes a step farther to actually wake you up, to actually make you aware of what he's saying. Praise the Lord. So, but the fact is, you see, the key element to hear God's voice is not what we want, is not going after something, but one thing, the truth. Wanting to know the truth. Praise the Lord. See, that's what breaks the barrier. You don't care if it's the way you like it or not like it. You don't care if it's one way or another. You see, you want to know the truth, and that's what you care about, because that's the only thing that makes the difference. It's not according to the indoctrination that you have. It's not according to, you know, what everybody tells around. It's not, you know, what makes you acceptable to other people. No, you want to know really the truth, just as bare as it is. It takes courage to take that position. Sometimes it takes the fact that we got fed up with the things the way they are, and we don't care anymore about, because they're not worth the trouble. And so we care more about really know what reality is, and we want to know about it, because we want to start living on the truth, not living on illusions or deception or other things. We continue here. Okay. Everyone who is of the truth, hear my voice. I think we should have this put up on the bathroom window so that to remind us, because we often forget that. We think that, you know, we had to go after some lots of stuff. No, just go after one thing. I want to know the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Jesus came. He says, hear my voice, Jesus' voice. This is the first thing that you had to hear. Really, that's where it starts. Okay? And then, you know, he taught about that. He had really, but again, okay, Jesus was talking to people that weren't really too spiritual. They were, some of them, you know, had some understanding, they desired, but they were not too spiritual. They were trying to reach up to everybody. So what he did? He talked in parable. He talked a parable and talked about himself and made himself physically. See, he's not the physical. He was these physical things in the parable are nothing else than symbol for things that have a container, spiritual content. I just finished writing a paper on how to understand spiritual things. And it's finished, but just had to correct a couple of lines. Anybody's interested, I'm going to make it available to everybody. It's 6 pages long and summarizes some of the principles I've been teaching at the TBS, the Thursday Bible Study. Okay, there is very clear instruction in the Bible on how we can do that. And they're not according to man's rules. Man's rule cannot explain to you, if you follow man's rule, you're going to get man's result. That's why I say here, you know, we need to connect with God, you know, spiritually, not mentally. And that means the only way to do that is through his word. And to the intervention of the Holy Spirit, bringing us the understanding and the revelation that we had to have. That changes everything. Anyway, that's another story. If you're interested, I'm going to make it available soon. Let me know. Okay. So here it says, in John chapter 10, okay, Jesus starts talking about that relationship that we have with him. Okay, and he's speaking symbolically, so the symbols have to be interpreted and understood properly. It's not, you know, the meaning of symbols in the Bible are specifically intended the way God intended them to put them through. We have to understand that is not open to interpretation. It's yet to connect with the truth. Hallelujah. So he's talking to him, verse 1, John chapter 10, says, most assuredly. When he says so most assuredly, there is always, you know, that means that this is a crucial statement. You know, it's something that you better believe it. And you better connect with it, you better receive it. Okay? Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So there is not only one way. Talks about different symbols already here. Okay? The sheepfold, okay, is the place where you keep the sheep. Okay. And says, you know, you cannot enter there, okay, any other way than the legal way, the way that is prescribed, okay, through the door. Okay. If you try to get any other way, you are not getting anywhere. Okay. So, the sheep are also a symbol. Beside the sheepfold, okay? The sheep are the characteristic of the sheep that they go wherever the sheep shepherd brings them. That they listen to the shepherd. He can guide them properly and they go where he tells them to do. They are not a problem maintaining them because they are obedient. Okay? Here he's talking not about sheep, he's talking about people. Okay. What God cares about is obedience. I've been following not man's idea or man's things, but man's in his direction. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is the sheepfold is where you keep the sheep. The sheep are the ones that actually follow the shepherd and are obedient to the shepherd. Okay, goats don't do that. They go all over the place. Try to look after the goats, forget it. You cannot do it. You know, I remember once going to see some friend that had two goats. I got there, you know, when my kids were young, I got there with the car. Before I even opened the door, one goat was on top of the car. I mean, Jesus didn't even give me the time to open the door. So I just let it there. Couldn't do much. Well, that doesn't get anywhere with God, you see. God, you see, is talking about Jesus being the shepherd and we being the sheep. That means we are obedient to his direction. How can we be obedient to his direction if we don't hear what he tells us? You know, the shepherd uses a whistle, uses a voice, tells the sheep to do, and they do it. But if the sheep don't hear what he's saying, how can they follow? If they don't get the direction, they cannot get anywhere. So the key things for the direction that the shepherd gives to the sheep is that they get communication from the shepherd. Okay? You cannot be a sheep if you don't hear from God. That's critical. Okay? So, we start seeing, you know, explaining some more here. In verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So here he says, you know, even the door, even the shepherd, okay, has to enter through the door. Has to be the same way as the sheep. And this is really talking about himself. Okay, he was obedient. He was a sheep with respect to the Father because he was doing only what he saw the Father doing. He was directed by the Father. He was communicating with him. He was getting, you know, the information that he needed to do what he had to do. And he was doing it. So, you know, he was an example to the sheep. And he's an example to us. That's not the case in generally, you know, true. It doesn't apply completely in the practical world because a shepherd, you know, if a sheep fall, yeah, for sure, he has to enter in the gate to the same part that the sheep go in. Otherwise, he cannot get in. Okay? But doesn't involve, you know, he knows what he wants. Jesus knew what God wants, what the Father wants. And so he was obedient to him. He was like the sheep supposed to be. So even the shepherd must enter the same way as all the sheep. So he's an example of our submission and obedience to the Father to be able to do what? To hear his voice. He heard the Father's voice because of what? He said it very often, you know, because my will has to do the will of the Father, not my own thing. I'm not going to be I'm not a goat. Okay, so that is really the thing. Okay. Goes on, verse 3, talking about the doorkeeper, another symbol there. Okay, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. Now, you know, this fact of lead them out is should be connected probably with all the other things. First of all, who is the shepherd, who is the doorkeeper? The doorkeeper is the one that opens the door, okay, for the sheep to come in. Now, you know, as usual, you cannot find a clear explanation of anything, even symbolically, if you don't go to other scriptures. Because that's the way to understand spiritual things. And you had to go to John chapter 6, verse 37, to see all that the Father gives me will come to me. See, that's what determines one to go there. That's what when he directed to the door to come in. It's the Father that directs them to Jesus. Okay? So, really, the Father is the one who sent them there. Okay, and the one who come to me, I no mean cast out. So the idea is that, you know, when the Father sends somebody, then that person goes to him with the proper orientation, with the proper mind, with the proper spirit, with the proper heart, you know, He's going to receive him. He's going to start working with him. Hallelujah. So Jesus himself, okay, explain the way he is functioning, the way he is responding to what the Father is doing in people. Sending him to him, but you know, just the Father is just a spirit. And to understand the spirit is much more difficult and much more confusing than try to understand somebody like us. That's why Jesus came as a man, so that we can connect with him and we can understand the way he functions. And as we study him and as we go closer to him, you know, I remember when the Lord spoke to me and says, you know, you want to get closer to God? Start studying carefully the way Jesus walked. And when I start doing that, lots of things that, you know, I accepted by religion, I just fell off. Because were unnecessary. Was showing exactly what to do. He was showing me how to walk and how I should operate, function, make decisions, choose stuff the way he did. And when to the degree that I could do that, or could not do that, was determining my relationship with him. Praise God. Okay, so also, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Okay, so, many are called, the word says, but few are chosen. It's not Jesus that should put them off. They're, you know, it's not Jesus making that decision. We make that decision because we are not responding to the call. See, we have a part. God gave us free will. And we have to choose what we want. That's what determines the way God is going to deal with us. That's the way it determines what Jesus is going to do with us. Or how effective we are in connecting with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay? We must choose what we want. Okay? Even Jesus was tempted, like we are tempted. But he had no problem making the right choices because he was prepared. Generally, if we are seeking for the truth, we get prepared because we look for things. We look for answers. We look to know the truth, not just everything that believes everybody else. Are you following me? It's when we want something and we work toward that, then we get ready to be able to take next step that God wants to give us, and he, you know, opens the door for us, and Jesus take us in. Because he's the good shepherd. He says, you know, this is a good sheep. I'm going to be able to guide. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus, okay, continue this on verse 38. Okay, John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see, this is his position. That has to be our position. This is the position of the sheep. I'm going to do what my shepherd tells me. Okay, your shepherd is Jesus, the bottom line. Because he says, you know, I know him, I call him by name. He knows you personally, and he wants you to know him personally. And unless there is that kind of a personal relationship, there is no relationship because you are just going by other things, your own thought. You are going to go by your own things or following somebody else. You have to follow him, not other people, because they can send, if they direct you to him, fine. But if they don't, you have to know who you have to choose. Not because you like the ideas, not because it's going to be good or profitable or whatever, because you had to make the choices that God has appointed, that Jesus has shown us. And the Jesus' choices weren't always easy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus said, you know, not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So if we follow him, we are going to act and operate the same. We are going to follow what the shepherd tells us, that is actually to do the same thing. He tells us what the Father wants, and we end up doing what Jesus tells us, which is the Father, what the Fathers want. Praise the Lord. And then verse 39 tells us exactly that. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all of you that has given to me should lose nothing, but should raise up in the last day. See, this is God's plan. It's not the things now. It's not that you go and do a certain thing. It's just that you hold on, and finally you are going to be raised up in the last day. That's God's plan. And everything that comes in the way, they come in, is you had to deal with it. And you had to, and Jesus is going to show you what to do about that. Okay. So, you know, God, one of the things that God always works by is not by intermediate step. God always looks at the end. He knows the end from the beginning. Because he knows everything that you're going to do. And so he just, his plan is not, okay, today I'm going to do that, maybe tomorrow. No, he wants you to keep going. But that means that you always keep holding on to the truth that you have received. Otherwise, that doesn't happen. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, we're raised up in the last day. Okay. Let's go back to the shepherd. Okay, the work that the shepherd does. Verse 4, John 10, 4, says there. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But he's talking about goes out. Well, when you go out of the sheepfold is when you are in the world. And he's going to send you out. You have to be in. You're not just always in the sheepfold. Okay. So you have to go out. But he goes ahead of you and he prepares you. He shows the things that you should know, that you should recognize. Okay. And he's going to guide you out there, even down there. Because why? Because, you know, the sheep, okay. Where am I? Yeah. So, and when he brings out his own sheep, he brings out, so he's actually directing you that the way, you know, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Don't go their own way. Don't go according to what the world says. Don't go about, but why? Because they know his voice. He's there guiding him. Now, you know, you see that if we go later on in the Bible, we can see more about that. We have the Holy Spirit that comes with us. No matter where we go, the Holy Spirit guides us. If we are listening, we are not going to be deceived by the stuff that is in the world, because we hear his voice. We know what he says to do. We know exactly what to do in all the situation, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And if we are for the truth, and we are looking for the truth, and that's what guides us, we are going to be receiving the right information and know the things that are right and they are wrong, and we are going to reject the things that are wrong. But if we hear nothing, we are going to be confused. And if we are not, hear nothing, it's because we are too religious, we are trying to do things by the rules instead of really connecting with our heart to God. New covenant is a love covenant. It's not a law covenant. Legalism, not going to do it, He's not going to give you spiritual power. Obedience and respond to the Holy Spirit talk inside you is going to do that, because he's going to guide you step by step by step, even when you are in the world. Are you following what I'm saying? So, oh, but this is, you know, seems not very unsafe. Then you're not looking for the truth. If you're looking for the truth, you hear his voice, not the voice of a stranger. When you hear the voice of a stranger, you say, that doesn't sound good. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, this sounds very much charismatic, but it's not. This is spiritual. This is learning to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, bringing us out, we need to die. We have a job to do in this world. And he's going to guide in that without being deceived, without being confused by what people say. It says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, verse 5. But they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. They know that something doesn't sound good, and it doesn't fit with what the word says, doesn't fit with what Jesus said. And so you just cut it out. You don't follow it. Praise the Lord. You know, when you follow the truth, you don't run after every window doctrine that comes around. You stick with the truth, and you know that the truth keeps you going to keep you free and is going to enable you to overcome. Hallelujah. Continuing, John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. So here he says, you know, you had to come, you had to come through me. You had to come the way I teach you. You had to come the way I'm going to show you, the way I show you by the things that I did myself. And that is doing the will of the Father. Praise the Lord. The thieves come but to except to steal and kill and destroy. I come that you may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Okay, Jesus came to give us abundant life, but we have to understand what abundant life is. You know, it's not having the $1 million in the bank or $10 million in the bank. The abundant life is really to have the life that Jesus had, the life that he lived. Okay, understand what that means. It's important. You see, God's plan is for us to become like him, like Jesus. And so, you know, that is what is going to make the difference. And that's what, you know, happens when, that will happen when we meet the condition of being obedient to him. When I seek the truth instead of seeking our own will. Certainly the flesh doesn't like that. Okay? Because the flesh wants to control. Okay? And that is for goat, not for sheep. Praise the Lord. Okay. See, continuing here. Okay, just jumping a few verses because I don't have the time here. John 10, 14 says, okay, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. So you see, the thing is, there is a question of a relationship there. See, the word, I know my sheep and they know me. The word is not just, you know, I'm intellectually, you know, oh, hello, good morning. No, the word is ginosko. The word ginosko means, you know, that there is an understanding, there is a deep connection and relationship between us and him. The sheep have actually a relationship with him so that they can actually experience that connection. That experience, that connection has an impact to that. Okay? It's more than just mere knowledge. It's intimate communion, an experiential connection between us and him. That goes beyond all the physical things that make us connect with our spirit. That means his spirit and our spirit are in union, are in communion with one another. This is what Romans 8:11 said. I was saying, you know, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Okay, that means, you know, there is communion there within you at the level of your heart, your spirit, deeply within you, guiding you in the same direction that he operated. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? You know, this is not a message that was given one. You know, take, for example, you go on John chapter 14. It talks about all the union between Jesus and the Father and with Jesus and the Father and us with Jesus and us with the Father. You see, this is communion that takes place at the spiritual level, not the mental level of us, our desires, our will, our choices, our judgment about things that is really deep within us that make us have this communion together and we are one. We are together in the same will, in the same desire, in the same experience of life and power. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. I know the sheep, and the sheep know, you know, are known by myself. So, you know, there is a mutual relationship that connects us, and that relationship, as I was explaining 1 second ago, you know, it not just goes with Jesus, but goes also with the Father. It says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. See, this is the relationship between and the Father and Jesus and the sheep. Let's go all together. And we come together in unity. The same unity that is described in John chapter 17. Okay? It's not a superficial knowledge. It's not a mental knowledge. It's not just a theological knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. Like when, you know, two people are united. And marriage is nothing else than a representation of that unity. That's what the vow says. Hallelujah. Says, therefore, my Father loved me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. So you see, this is really the connection. You see, there are implications of this relationship, you know, it carries also in the physical. But doesn't happen in the physical. First, happen in the spiritual, and is transferred that by a spiritual power that enables us to do things that otherwise are not possible to do for us to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Following verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay down, talking about his life, by myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it away. This command I have received from my Father. So here he's saying, you know, the way God works is not by manipulation or coercion. You know, he gives you the power to take it down, take your life, and use it the way you should. The way God wants. Okay? And, you know, that power, the word there is exousia, which actually means the ability, the authority, the privilege, okay, And that privilege is your free will. God has given you free will to choose what you're going to do with your life. And he's not going to stop you from doing anything if you decide to do so, but there are consequences. And so he wants you to make the right choices, and he gives you Jesus as an example of how to choose. Hallelujah. Your choices determine your standing or love, or the way you want to call it, your relationship with God. Okay. Spiritual choices will produce also physical results, will produce changes in the physical. Okay, but just legalism and religious performances doesn't have that spiritual power. And so you cannot go by the law, but you have to go by the heart. Praise the Lord. Somebody that is not looking for the truth can take, can stand what I'm saying, because hates it. And that is reported even in the Bible, because that was the result of Jesus saying those things. John 10:19. Therefore, there was division amongst the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon, he's mad. Okay, I don't know what he was mad about. Why do you listen to him? Okay, I hope we don't make that kind of a mistake. Others says, but these are not words of one who has a demon. These people were a bit more open to what he was saying. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? But you know, even them weren't right, because they used the miracle that he was doing to determine that he what he was, and that not instead the heart that was going on inside them. And you can get that kind of stuff by other sources too. Praise the Lord. So another said, you know, okay, this word, okay. Verse 24. Okay, then Jesus surrounded him and said to him, that the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Are you joking? I mean, he's there explaining. He's there preparing them. He's there telling them everything that they need to know, but they can't get anything. Why? Because they're not looking for the truth. They know already what they want. They could not hear his voice when he was speaking very clearly for everybody else that was would be open. Okay. And Jesus answered to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they are the witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep, and as I said to you. So really, you see, doesn't matter what he was going to do, because they were not open, they were not willing to be obedient, there was no way they could get it. This is, you know, the same thing that Isaiah prophesies. You know, they have ear to hear and eyes to see, but they don't hear and they don't see. Why? Because their heart is far from me. See, these things are not just said in one place, are all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. In the New Testament are much clearer because we have lots of more information and Jesus came to explain stuff. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, we are at an advantage. You know, I'm an advantage as I go away, even by that. He didn't just teach us. He sent the helper to be with us, to be in our case, to be inside us, wherever we go, to just straighten us up. And to help us to see. But, you know, we should be able to see even before. If we are open, we are going to be able to see many things. And he's going to speak to us, and we recognize his voice, and we are not confused when we hear somebody talking us junk, teaching us junk. Because we recognize that something is wrong, and we, how do you recognize it? Well, first of all, our heart knows. Second, we go to the word like the Berean and see, look, this is in contrast, this is opposing what the word says, and we reject it too. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that we covered enough for today. Let me mark down here where I am. I'm going to be about here. Good. Do you get anything today? I mean, hearing his voice is very important. If we don't hear his voice, we have to deal with our heart more than anything else. Okay, because that's the problem. It's not our mind, it's not everything. It's our approach that is wrong, and we have to change the way we go to him. We have to go with our heart, be open, okay, respond to the call that we have in our life, respond to what God is telling us, and make the right decision to the things we do and don't do, what we obey, what we follow, what we obey. And we have to learn to be sheep, the way Jesus was a sheep to himself. And we are going to have what? Abundant life. I mean, maybe not the world abundant life, but it's going to be the spiritual world that is going to be producing much greater impact and result, change everything inside us, enable us to do things that are not just natural, but supernatural, the way Jesus did. He says, you know, you do whatever you ask, you do it. You can have it. Not because I go to the Father, but because you're connected. Praise the Lord. I mean, that is the good news. Okay? That is the direction that we need to have. Okay? The flesh doesn't like it. See, that's what, say, you know, this guy is a demon possessed. Well, they were demon possessed, not him. You see, that's the thing. It's the opposite of what they were saying. And this is the thing, the deception. We should know his voice. We should understand what he's saying. We should be able to connect with the truth. That's what we had to go after. Praise the Lord. So let's close in prayer for today. We continue next week. See, there is more here that we can expand. You know, practical steps that we can take. You know, Jesus was talking to people that didn't understand very much. We have much more information than they had. We should be able to take too much more, you know. But there are many things that we can do to get more closer to God, to be able to connect with him, to be able to hear him, his voice clearly, sharp, not be confused. If we are confused, it's because our heart is confused and is not connected properly. And with that, we are going to pray. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your love, for providing for us all the direction and the teaching that we need, that Jesus brought to us, giving us the example and helping us to connect with him and connect with you. We open our heart to you. Guide us. Strengthen us. Help us to hear and to recognize your voice, so that we may not be confused, but may know and have the assurance that we are in the truth, and the truth is setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your love that we can experience and we can live by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.